Take your Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We're just going to read two verses, verse 5 and verse 6. I'll read verse 5 and then you read verse 6 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word this morning. Lord, thank you for the music. I just ask that, Father, you please help me as I preach this morning. Let this be a helpful time. Thank you for salvation. You did it all. But Lord, please help us to thank you and praise you for your goodness. Bless the song now and then the preaching. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain which mar the chosen one, bring many sons to glory.
Amen.
Sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is
Thank you. That's super. That's just beautiful. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I know a lot of people are tired from the conference and spent for a good cause, right? Spent for good. And so I'm going to try to be a help here. And here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. God says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And you ought to know if you're saved. It's called experimental religion because I've experienced it personally. Somebody didn't tell me about it. A place didn't tell me. I found the Lord personally. My family didn't find it. I found it. And it says, examine yourself. Examine. You should happily examine your salvation date. And it shouldn't be something, well, I hope I'm saved, or I think I'm saved, or I'm pretty sure I'm saved. You should know you're saved. Amen? And that's why God says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. And then when you read it there, notice God says, prove your own selves. In other words, you should be able to say, I know I'm saved because. Right? Prove your own self. Now, I've been saved 38 years, and it's been a blessing. And I've watched God do some things that only He could have done. And I have a testimony. And I know the people that have been saved a while have a testimony. But prove yourself. That's called putting God. Has God, yes, God saved me. But I've seen God put to the test. And I've seen God faithful. Prove yourselves. And watch, that's the value of church. That's the value of being faithful. Amen. That's why you talk to the old timers. Amen. The people who've been saved a long time. The people who've been in church a long time. And that, it's wonderful to hear them talk. Just as you keep on reading, know ye not your own selves. Know yourself. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. He that hath the Son hath life. 1 John 5:12. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You're not sort of saved or almost saved. You're either saved or you're not. And he said, if you're not saved, but you've been in church and you've heard it all, that's the danger. Oh, I know about Jesus. They know about it, but they've never trusted him. You ever heard the old statement, missing heaven by 18 inches? They knew about him, but they never trusted him. He says, if Jesus Christ is not in you, but here he's talking to a church. He said, but you've heard him, heard about him in Sunday school. You've heard about him in church. The word reprobate is the strongest word in the New Testament. It's talking about somebody that can't get saved. That's your homosexuals. That's your transvestite. That's your mentally unstable people. Okay? Reprobate, read Romans 1 where it's used several times. The word reprobate is somebody that God gives up on because they gave up on God. God wants everybody saved. Amen? But when somebody gives up on God, God never quits until they quit on God. That's a reprobate. Amen? Romans chapter 1, I'm going to go there. But the verse is amazing. Verse 6, but I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. He said, because we came, and of course God used Paul to start this church and win these people to Christ. That idea of examining yourself, if I read to you in Psalm, just listen closely. As a matter of fact, why don't you go to Psalm 119? Psalm 119, and I'm going to read you three verses, but we'll read one together. Examining yourself. Examining yourself. The name of the message this morning is how to know that you're saved. How to know that you're saved. You're at Psalm 119. I'm going to read to you Psalm 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Now you're at Psalm 119. Look at verse number 59. I thought on Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought on my ways. and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. What a verse. When I thought about my life and where it's headed and where what God has done or how I'm sitting, when I thought about my life, when I thought about my ways, I said, do I want my life to continue this way? Isn't that wonderful? God says one of the healthiest things you can do is examine yourself. I like what one person said. If you want a good funeral and you want good things said at your funeral, then why don't you live that way? That's a good thought. Is that, in other words, if you keep going the way you are, is the preacher going to have to lie at your funeral? Well, he was a nice person. I had to do a funeral one time for a guy that got murdered. And they were all he was killed by his three friends in the river. But all four of them were druggies. And guess what? They went and got high, and then they went to the river. And then one of them, you know, I don't know how, they had a swinging rope over the tree, and they did it. And then when he went to get, okay, so it ended up, then those three guys showed up at the funeral. And I just thought, you guys, you want me to say a bunch of nice things about somebody. I wonder if he'd been doing drugs, if he would have, right? Isn't this sign up here stupid? Don't get me started. It says, if you're high, don't drive. You know, it's right up here, right up the road. Whatever happened to, if you're high, you're stupid. If you're high, you're a fool. If you're high, I hope you don't die, but I won't question when you do. I've always been taught low life does marijuana. It's legal in Maryland. What are you going to do when they make cocaine legal? Well, it's legal. What does legal have to do with anything? Amen. If you're high, don't drive. How about if you're high, you're stupid? Amen. You're a fool and you're hanging around with slobs. Get away from them. Amen. Let's go. Examine yourself. If I keep living the life I'm living, where will I end up? When I thought on my ways, examining yourself, I turned my feet and I said, you know what? I really don't want my life to end up this way. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And it came from examining yourself first. Is this my friends, my entertainment, the places I go? Is this what I want God? Is this what I want my life to stand for? It is a healthy thing. And as you go through the Bible, God says, have you ever thought about you? Don't judge me. Have you ever judged you? How many times is it in Psalms? Judge me, O God, and know my thoughts and know my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me. It's a good thing. It's something a Christian is supposed to, amen, if you're saved, enjoy doing. Amen? You're supposed to enjoy the fact of, yeah, praise God. Me, I got saved 38 years ago. Now, when you go back to our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, God says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. So self-examination is a good thing. Somebody said, if I can just get you to think about you and your life and what it means and where you're headed, I could get you to do some things of value. Do you ever think about what life is going to be like at this rate 10 years from now? Amen. You'd quit your drinking. It will kill you. It kills brain cells while you drink. Everybody knows that about alcohol. And it destroys your body. Quit living for the now and think. Examine yourself. Where is this going to take me? The drugs would stop. Amen. There's a whole bunch. It's healthy to do this. Amen. Watch this. Let me take you to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And I think these are good verses in this day and age we live in. This is a good verses to have marked in your Bible. But watch this. Here we go. Luke chapter 10. Watch verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us and through thy name. So Jesus sends out 70 men to witness for him in chapter 10. That's in verse 1. 70 people. they come back and go, wow, we've got spiritual authority and we were able to cast out devils. And look at Jesus' response. Right, watch this, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I was there when Satan rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. I was there. I watched Satan fall. I watched his pride destroy him, right? Isaiah 14, we go through the Old Testament. But Jesus said, because he is God, he said, I was there when Satan fell. That Mormon teaching, Jesus and Satan are brothers, what a stupid bunch. Okay, back here we go. I was there when Satan fell. Look at verse 19. And I hope you, I wish you'd think about this. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The enemy is the devil. And no, I'm not for handling snakes, and I'm not about to. But the context is serpents and scorpions are devils, demons. And in the day and age we're living in, when they start talking about the nanotechnology where they can inject you with this has been going on for 20 years and they said it's starting to perfect. I'm not going to stay here all morning. Just listen to me. When they talk about injecting you with nanoparticles that can assemble in your body into chips, one scientist said, okay, and they can, and it's happening. One scientist said that energy to do so is demonic. Cells in your body and all of that, how they're starting to play with the mRNA vaccines and all this other garbage. Now they're changing your DNA and clipping it and rewriting it and recoding all of that stuff. That was God's handiwork at the start, right? I don't care who you are. You ain't supposed to play with that. Amen? You say, well, what are you going to do? I claim verse 19. Jesus said, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing, praise God, nothing, if you're saved, will by any means hurt you. Just stick in your Bible. Amen? It's going to get darker. We're going to watch transhumanism take place. That's where they mesh machine and human. Here at Elon Musk, the brain implants and all that trash. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. It's going to get, I think we're getting ready. I told you 2 weeks ago, we're getting to the point where the only thing you're going to be able to trust, you won't be able to trust anything you hear anymore. Or anything you see, the only thing you'll be able to trust is that book. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? That's where we're headed. It just causes me to run to my Bible. Amen? Nothing shall by any means spiritually hurt you. Praise God. What a promise. And then look at this. Look at verse number 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice in the fact that devils can't control you or touch you if you're saved and living for God. Now, if you want to listen to the devil's rock music and go to the devil's nightclubs and drink the devil's booze and do the devil's drugs, if you want to submit yourself as a Christian to the devil's atmosphere, then yeah, I guess you're going to struggle. But when you're a child of God that's trying to do right, and you want your family and your home's a holy place, and it's a sacred place. Jesus said, nothing, when you keep your eyes on me, nothing can hurt you spiritually. He says, but don't get too wrapped up in that and quit looking for demons around every corner. He said, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. But look what he told us to be glad in. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. How come? Because your names are written in heaven. Well, man, devil's not getting, being able to, when a witch says, I'm going to cast a spell on you, I'm like, I don't care about that. Boy, that sounds like big league stuff. Jesus said, quit caring about that. He said, just thank God you're saved. I'm so glad my name is written in heaven. And when Jesus wrote my name in heaven in the book of life, the day I got saved, June 7, 1986, he didn't write it in pencil to where it can get erased. He wrote it in his blood. Amen. And I'm not just saved till I sin again. I'm saved forever. Three words Jesus used to describe the salvation he gives you when you trust him as your Savior: forever, eternal, and everlasting. Amen. No, never used the word temporary. Amen. I'm not saved until I sin again. I'm saved forever, eternally. Amen. And forevermore. So here we go. Jesus said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So what's the purpose of it? We started in 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Remember the day you got saved. Make sure you're saved. Amen. And then thank God your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When was the last time you said, thank you, Jesus, for your salvation? Thank you for saving someone like me. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you that I get to spend eternity. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. In other words, thank the Lord for your salvation date and be glad you're saved and rejoice. Thanking God you're saved is something you should do every day. That's that one thing that never gets old. Amen? At least it's not supposed to get old, right? It's not supposed to get old hat. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, what would cause somebody, here we go, take your Bible and go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, after the book of Hebrews there. 1 John chapter 2. So God says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You should know you're saved. Amen. Let me go this far. I shouldn't have to talk you into being saved, and I'm not going to, because you're either saved or you're not. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith, whether you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. Then once you do, thank the Lord for it. But could somebody be saved and not enjoy their salvation? Look at 1 John chapter 2. Ready? Watch this. It says, verse 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus died for everybody. Amen. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him. How do you know Jesus? Watch, if we keep his commandments. So can you be saved and not enjoy being saved or wonder if you're saved? If you're a Christian, because praise God, all you have to do to get saved is place your faith in Jesus who died for you. But if you've trusted Jesus and you don't care what the Bible says, you're going to do your own thing and live your life, then guess what? You're not going to have, it's going to be mixed up, that assurance is going to be mixed up with guilt. Because you know you did something that God told you not to. Amen? If you're not watching your mouth or watching your music, God says if we keep his commandments, then we know him. We have that assurance. How do you know you're saved? If you don't know you're saved, could you be saved? As long as I don't have to talk you into it. If you're playing around with the Bible and the Bible doesn't matter to you and you're going to live your life and do whatever you want to do, yeah, it's going to cause confusion. It's going to frustrate. Here, that's verse 3. Ready? Look at verse 4 and 5. It says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments or cares about the Bible is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso, watch, whoso keepeth his word, in him, verily, is the love of God perfected or matured. Hereby know we that we are in him. It all goes back to obedience. You cannot be a disobedient. None of us are sinless. I get it. But some care more than others. The old statement goes like this. There's only one thing that's worse than not being holy. And that's not wanting to be. Everybody in here is at a different level. Nobody in here is at the same level, but some try harder than others because obeying the Bible should be, it's the book that saved you. That book is salvation. Amen. That book is Jesus, right? It's the Word. It's the written Word. Caring, does God want me to do that or not? That's supposed to be how we live our life, right? Does God want that in my home? Does God want me listening to that? Does God want me hanging around those people? Does God want me... Right? So obedience is going to play... There's one other thing that will cause you to be saved, but not enjoy your salvation. Now here in 1 John, you're in chapter 2. Look at chapter 3 and look over at verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. How do you know you're saved? Let me rephrase it this way. Before I got saved, I could have cared less about church. I endured church. Church meant nothing to me. I daydreamed during the songs. I didn't want anything. I couldn't wait for church to be done. But after I got saved, I started enjoying what I didn't used to enjoy. Praise God, I do watch the clock, and you know I do. However, one way you can know you're saved is you love the brethren. And I'd rather be with God's people enjoying the Bible than at a nightclub enjoying liquor. That's their church. That's all they know. How do you know you're saved? Okay. Is one, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Watch, he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Look at verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Let me just sum it up this way. You cannot be a jerk and enjoy being saved. You cannot mistreat God's people and still be glad you're on your way to heaven. If you're nasty with your mouth, with your attitude, you cannot mistreat other people. It's so neat what God put in the Bible. Can I show you just an amazing verse? Look at Psalm 18. We'll keep going here, but look at Psalm 18. Okay, watch this. Psalm 18. Look at verse number 24. Verse 26 is what I want to draw your attention to, but look at Psalm 18, verse 24. Think about this. Ready? Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. God pays me back. Amen? God sees how hard you try. Look at verse 25. With the merciful, thou, God, wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou, God, will show thyself upright. Watch, verse 26. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And watch, with the froward or perverted, thou wilt show thyself froward. Isn't that interesting? When you read those verses, God says, you think I am the way you treat other people. And if you're merciful with other people and you work at being kind and you work at that, it's easier to see God's mercy. But if you're a jerk and selfish, you think God's mean. Because God says, I will show myself to you. That's how come you can't mistreat people. Well, they did this. You can't control what other people do. You can only control what you do. And if you don't... What verses? Amen? So this morning, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Can you be saved and not glad you're saved? Yeah, if the Bible's not important to you, you're going to be a frustrated Christian. You're going to always be in turmoil. What else? If you're a jerk, and I'm using that word, if you're selfish, if you're self-centered, if you're mean, if you're nasty, if you don't care how people take you, well, I just told them a piece of my mind. You're not going to enjoy being saved. And God is not going to... you're not going to experience God's presence and closeness when you're a jerk. Amen? Now take your Bible. Let me show you one more thing, and then I'll show you how you can know that you're saved. Go to 2 Peter, all the way back to your back of the Bible. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 5. We're going to give this book out this morning to everybody. It's called, What Must I Do to Be Saved? Okay, just came off the press, and Brother Grady wrote this. He wrote it so that we'd have a book to give. It's simply written. He worked and worked at it. There's 10 chapters. They're all like 6 pages, you know. But it describes how to be saved. It's got the Philippian jailer there, Acts 16 on the cover. And he had the painting painted. And all this book is, he said, wouldn't it be neat if each church member had a book they could give a family member or give someone, he said, that isn't laborious to read. And he worked so hard. He worked a whole year on this book trying to make it simple, right? Well, one, if you read it, it'll help you be a better soul winner, right? But two, the book was designed to give to somebody. So read it first and then give it away. Amen? But it was designed to give to people that you want to get saved. Amen? So we'll give this out afterwards. Everybody gets one, but we'll sell the others, okay? And we're not going to pay for it, but it was a little bit of money, okay? So, but everybody will get one of these. I want you to read it. Here we go. And then give it away. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Ready? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith or your salvation what? Virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound. God says when you get saved, there's things you're supposed to add to. Now that you're saved, you couldn't do that. Jesus did. Now that you're saved, add to your faith. Grow in the Lord. And if you don't, well, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and that's it. You don't enjoy being saved. If these things be in you and abound, right? Verse 8, they make that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get saved, you're supposed to add. That's what church is for. That's what Sunday school's for. So you can add. We're learning the Bible. You say, oh, I don't need you. I can read. Church is God's plan. Amen? The home is God's plan. That's important. Church is important. It all wonderfully works together. Amen? So that we can all grow. And watch this. Keep on reading. Look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, watch, is blind and cannot see afar off. Watch, and hath, I have underlined in my Bible the word, forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Can you be saved and not grow in the Lord and forget you're saved? The Bible says you can. You can trust Jesus as your Savior, not do what he tells you to do, and live in such a way that your salvation, you forget. You forget your sins are all gone. What a verse. What an encouragement to keep growing in the Lord, right? So let's answer the question. Can you be saved and not sure that you're on your way to heaven? I think the Bible teaches if you're a disobedient Christian, I'm talking about living in wilt, like I don't care what the Bible says. Yeah, you're going to struggle. If you're a selfish person and you treat people nasty, can you be saved and not sure that you're on your way? Yes. And then can you be saved and have forgotten that you were saved? That your sins were purged? Gone. Yes. The Bible teaches yes. That's an encouragement for us to live right, right? That's an encouragement for us to run to the Bible. Amen? Now, how do you know you're saved? So I've tried to answer the question, how can you be saved and not sure? Now, I'll tell you this. If you're always struggling with salvation, that's a bad thing. The devil's playing too many mind games with you, okay? If you're getting saved is simple. It's easy enough for a child, right? A child doesn't have to have an adult-like experience. An adult has to have a child-like experience. You have to become like a child. Simple faith. That's what it takes to get saved. But I don't have to talk. I don't talk people into being saved. You've trusted Jesus as your Savior, haven't you? I don't do that. I've never done that. I deal with people's children like I would want somebody to deal with my own. Through the years, I've done that. So, here we go. What are some things then God says, how can you know you're saved? Examining yourself, whether you be in the faith. Real quick, ready? Go to John 6:47. John 6:47. I've read the Bible through many times, and this is the simplest verse on how to have eternal life that I've ever read through the whole. There's other verses, but this is the simplest. Okay? John 6:47. Ready? It says, Jesus said, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. And the whole catch is the word believe does not mean know about. Jesus didn't say, if you know about me, that I lived 2,000 years ago and that I died on a cross for you, you'll go to heaven. That's not what he said. The word believe doesn't mean know about. Jesus said, if you'll solely depend on me and nothing else, that's what the word believe means. If you'll depend only on me and not the church, baptism, your good works, anything else, if you'll believe just on me, you'll have everlasting life. That is salvation. You knowing about Christ, that he died on a cross. This is America. Most people know that. You knowing that doesn't get you to heaven. You stop trusting everything else and depending on Jesus. That is what gets you to heaven. You say, first thing, okay, how do you know that you're saved? Did you do what Jesus said? Did you stop trusting everything else in your life? You, your church, your family, everything else. And did you only trust Jesus? When did you do that? It didn't slowly happen. It was a decision. If you did that and you did what Jesus said, Jesus said you have everlasting life, right? That's one way I know I'm saved. There's only, in dealing with people through the years, one person came to me and said, I just don't know if I prayed the right words. There's only two sinners' prayer in the Bible, okay? Publican and the Pharisee, remember? One went up to pray. Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other people are. I tithe, I fast twice a week and tithe all. And then it says the publican beat his chest and said what? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man went to his house saved or justified. That's one prayer. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. What's the other? There's only two prayers people prayed in the Bible where they got saved afterwards. What'd the thief on the cross say? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Do those sound like Jesus saved me? So when somebody says, well, I just don't know if I prayed the right prayer, or I just don't know. Did you do what Jesus said and believe only on him? Did you do what the Bible says? That's one way you can know you're saved, examining yourself. Number two, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You're in John. Go John, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 16. The Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit itself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God says the Holy Spirit tells you you're saved if you're saved. Isaiah 32:17 says the result, the effect of my righteousness is peace and assurance forever. Isaiah 32:17. God gives you an assurance that you're saved. Somebody said, well, what's going to feel like when I get saved? I said, I don't know that it's going to feel like anything. The room doesn't fill with spoofle dust and love doesn't float everywhere and things start glowing. Nothing. That doesn't happen. It's just the peace of God that you're never going to die and go to hell is given to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're God's child. That's why we sung it this morning. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'm a child of the King. His royal...
Where'd you get that assurance from? Somewhere along the lines, did you do what the Bible says? Did you believe only on Christ? Number two, do you have the peace of God in your heart that you're His child? That's something nobody else can give. That can't be faked. Amen? Number two, so how do you know that you're saved? Did you do what the Bible says? The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're His child. And the third thing is this. Go to Hebrews chapter 12 and we're all done. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 verse 8. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. What's the word bastard mean? It means one without a father. Look, read the verse again. If ye be without chastisement, God doesn't punish us when we get saved. He punished Jesus on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He chastises us or steers us. That's the purpose of a parent spanking the child, is it steers the child. I didn't punish any of my kids. I spanked them to help them mature and grow, but I didn't punish my kids. No parent. That's not the purpose of spanking. Chastisement, and watch this, it says, whereof all are partakers. The word all, in other words, if you're saved, eventually God's going to spank you. God's going to steer you. That's one proof that you're saved. You can't keep doing wrong and God not try to get your attention. You can't live in sin and be happy. Can you live in sin and be saved? Yes, you can. The prodigal son did, right? He was still the father's son in the pig pen, stunk like a pig, but you won't enjoy. See, before you got saved, you were a fish. Now that you're saved, you're a sheep, right? Jesus is the shepherd. Now that you're saved, sheep don't like to get stuff in their wool. They don't like the mud all over them. Can you be a sheep of God and living in the mud of sin? Yes, you can, but you won't be happy. You won't be happy, okay? All are partakers of God's chastisement. One thing you know that you're saved is God says, get back in line. Get back in line. All are partakers. What's one way that you know you're saved? The chastisement of God. God says, if you're not chastised, it's not a bad word when it's used correctly. God doesn't put cuss words in the Bible. The word bastard, He said, then you don't have a heavenly father. That's pretty stout, isn't it? That's one way of saying you're not saved. This morning, we started with 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourself whether you're in the faith. You should know that you're saved and you should praise God your name's written in heaven. And then when somebody says, well, how do you know that you're saved? Three things. Did you do what Jesus said? The Holy Spirit tells you, and your life isn't without chastisement. Amen. And on the way out, I want you to get this book. Don't just give it away. Amen. Read it and then give it away. It's a short book for crying out loud. Amen. And it's okay, the words aren't very big. I was going to say it's got big words. But anyways, it'll be simple to read. How many pages are in here? Ready? This is 63 pages of the book. The last part of the book, I should have showed you this before. The last part of the book is the book of John and Romans. So, see, can you read that book? That's a good, read it and then give it away. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, you sure have blessed us.